Good morning, everyone. I was actually pretty young when I first came to Jesus. And I thought at the time, I was asking the right question. And from my perspective, the question was quite simple. To that point, everything I had inherited from Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad left it to me, and it was mine. And I got to be honest and tell you that I had a lot. More stuff and more money than you could imagine. Certainly more than anyone else in my town. And you know what? They loved me for it. Probably because they thought that if they buddied up to me, that one day they'd get some of it, as if I couldn't see through all that. Little did they know that I had big plans, though, for my money. I had plans for my stuff. Plans that would outlive any of them. And what was a lot to them was pocket change. It was nothing to me. You know what it did? It gave me a lot of freedom. I didn't have to work. I traveled. I had servants. I had toys. I had excess. I had a house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town, and I had everything I needed to say, here lives a wealthy man. Even the most important people, the most important men would come to town and would call on me. They'd ask me to advise them. It really didn't matter what I told them. They believed me. You see, when you're rich, they think you really know. But there was one thing I didn't know, though. One question I had, how do I inherit eternal life? Apparently, Jesus knew the answer to that question. News made its way around, as you can imagine. Jesus preaching, Jesus gathering disciples, Jesus driving out evil spirits, healing the sick, forgiving sins, calming storms, raising the dead, feeding thousands with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Some even said Jesus walked on water. And apparently he was a great teacher. He taught in such a way that we had never heard before. So when it came to eternal life, I wasn't going to ask just anyone. I was going to ask Jesus. Well, here's the deal. I don't do anything halfway, as you can imagine. So I had to make a big deal out of it. So Jesus was basically getting ready to leave town, and as you can imagine, people were gathering all around him. They were crowding in on, and I was going to have to fight for attention. So what I did is, in pretty dramatic fashion, I ran up and I fell on my knees before Jesus, and I said with a loud voice, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That was it. I asked the question. He was going to tell me the answer. I was going to do whatever he told me. And in that, I was going to receive the inheritance of eternal life. Eternal life would be mine, just like everything else that I ever needed or wanted. Instead, Jesus didn't give me a straight answer. Apparently, a lot of people have had this problem with him. In fact, he answered my question with a question. And not even a question about the important part of my question. I hate it when people do that. I ran up to him and I said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He looked at me and he asked, "Why do you call me good?" He said, "No one is good except God alone." Well, actually, I've been pretty good. You guys remember all those commandments? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Honor your father and mother. Don't lie. Well, I don't mean to brag this morning, but here's the truth. I pretty much kept all of those since I was a boy. When it came to not doing bad things, I was actually pretty good. I was pretty much the best. I kept all the commandments since I was young. So God and I, you know, God, the only one good, we're actually pretty tied in this whole deal. We're actually pretty close. But then Jesus looked at me and he told me that I lacked something, that I was missing something, that I needed to do something. I know, right? Me? Lack something? Me need something? No, me lack nothing, right? Rich, wealthy, wealthiest man in town, more than you would know what to do with. But then he looked at me. And I got to be honest, I can't help but laugh at this point. He looked at me and he said, if you really want to inherit eternal life, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Well, the truth is, it actually wasn't very funny at all. Did I mention that I am a very rich man? And on that day, I went away very sad. You see, I wasn't going to give up my money, and I wasn't going to give up my stuff for anyone or anything, even eternal life. So I ask you this morning, how central, how important, just how cherished is your money, is your stuff? Now I give you this, it could be a little extreme, but I invite you to watch the screen with me just for a moment. MTV Cribs, if you've never seen it, that's Floyd Money Mayweather, that's his name. There's a lot of examples of pretty extreme faith in the Bible. And more often than not, when we see examples of very extreme faith and very extreme going in Scripture, a lot of times it has to do with people who are in very desperate situations, very desperate people in very desperate situations. It's not very often that we see in Scripture these stories of these self-satisfied individuals who have everything they could ever want and ever need in the palm of their hand. Well, on this day, this man walked up to Jesus, and his countenance when he came was obviously excitement. It was obviously intrigue. There was an element of curiosity there that Jesus was going to be able to give him an answer to a question that he could not find from anywhere else. But by the time this guy goes away, his countenance had changed completely to the point that Scripture says he went away very sad. Jesus said something to this man that on this day made him go away very sad, but it actually confused the disciples. It stumped the disciples. Now you may be asking the question, Dwayne, where are we? Right now, we're in Mark chapter 10, and we're about to start walking verse 23. We started at verse 17 when the gentleman comes to Jesus with this question, and now we're about to pick up right there, Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 23. So Jesus says this to this man, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Then if you do that, you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And Mark tells us that the man turned and he went away very sad because he had great wealth. Well, at that point, verse 23, Jesus, and I can only imagine Jesus at this point, maybe Jesus is kind of watching this guy break through the crowd, or maybe Jesus is looking over the expanse of the people that had gathered around him. But whatever he was doing, Jesus says there in verse 23, he says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now on that day, that was a pretty unfortunate statement for that gentleman, because that's all he wanted. He wanted to know how he would inherit eternal life and enter into the kingdom of God. And I have to think, though, that even for us today, this is a pretty scary statement. Now, I asked the question already, is it that to watch a video like MTV Cribs and see Floyd Money Mayweather, is it extreme to watch his life And I would give you that. I would say, yeah, it's very extreme to watch his life, 20,000 square foot home, $100,000 watch, 15 cars totaling in excess to $15 to $20 million, and who knows what else. But is it the exception? I would say to you today that I don't think it's the exception at all. Can I tell you a little statistic, church? The experts tell us today that if you own a car, it doesn't matter what kind of car it is. Can we bring up the first slide, Joel? It doesn't matter what kind of car it is, if it's that kind of car or if it's this kind of car. Y'all laughing? That's what I drive. Seriously? The experts tell us that if you own a vehicle today that runs, it doesn't matter what kind it is, it doesn't matter what year it is, it doesn't matter what condition it is. If you own a car in our world today, you find yourself in the top 3% of the richest people in the world. Can I tell you today that as a total household income, if you bring home more than $34,000 a year, you find yourself in the top 5% of the richest people in the world. And the number keeps growing, but at the date of that particular statistic, there would be somewhere around 6.2, 6.3 billion people below you on that list. I'm taking 10th grade Spanish. Thanks to FCA. Thank you, Dana. Thanks for letting me be a part. Trying to learn 10th grade Spanish, and it was interesting because we're only a couple of months into this class, and already we're talking about numbers. We're talking about dollars. And just this past, 2 weeks ago now, we started dealing with the question, quanto cuesta? I say that right? Oh, yeah. I said something correct. Awesome. We're taking Spanish. We're learning about money. We're learning about dollars. We're learning about amounts. And the question is, ¿cuánto cuesta? Is how much? It occurred to me as I was getting ready for this day, getting ready for this message, isn't that really a universal question? How much? How much is that going to cost me? How much is it going to take? How much of what I currently possess will I have to give you in order to get the thing that you have that I want? How much? Quanto cuesta. How much am I going to have to give in order to get what I want? In this case, for the man's case, quanto cuesta. How much, Lord, am I going to have to give up to inherit eternal life? And see, I'm convinced of this, church. I think a lot of us in the world today, I mean, even for people who say they're not religious or they don't want to have anything to do with the church, a lot of people respect Jesus. And sometimes, even in the life of the church, if we're not careful, we can fall into that trap as well, where we simply respect Jesus, but even though we respect Jesus, that doesn't necessarily mean that the way of Jesus is the lens through which we see all of life. And so out of love, Jesus basically has to pull back on this guy. He has to, in kind of a weird way that you wouldn't expect the Lord of the universe to do, he kind of disregards his question for a moment and says, well, why are you calling me good? God is the only one who's good. But out of love, Jesus has to get down to the brass tacks with this guy, and he has to say to this guy, look here, you lack something. I know you got a lot of stuff. I know you got a lot of money, but you're missing something. You lack something. You're very good at being good, but you've left something undone. You haven't gone deep enough in your walk with me. Jesus is worth something. Jesus is worth something, but is Jesus really worth giving up everything we have for? I love the writings of one scholar. He says, accepting Jesus, it means that we are accepting the reign of God and God's right to determine what we do with our lives, not the least of which is our stuff. It makes me step back and ask the question, what would happen to us if he asked for that which was most dear to us? What if he asked for the things that we treasure the most? What if he asked for the things that we hold very tightly to our hearts? What if Jesus asked for those things? He says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, here's the deal. Jesus mentions these commands. This guy says, man, I've followed these commands for a long time. I've done them. I know them. Since I was a boy, I've been doing this thing. If you pay pretty careful attention there to what Jesus says to him, Jesus mentions several of the commandments, but he omits the first four. And so when Jesus says to the guy, hey, you know the commandments. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know the commandments. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, right? Don't kill people. And the guy's able to step back and he say, well, I've done all those things, or I haven't done all those things. And it's interesting that Jesus mentions the six commandments that have to do with our relationship with people. When you get a chance, go back to the Ten Commandments. Look at the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments all have to do with our relationship to God. Have no other gods before me. Don't bow or kneel or honor another idol or a graven image. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Be in the presence of God. Those are the first four. Jesus mentions the latter six commandments that all have to do with people. And so this guy's standing there and he's saying, well, I've done all the commandments. I've done everything I was supposed to do in order to help people. And so Jesus has kind of this one final question, though. Do you serve God or do you serve money? One of our staff members said in preparing for this day, true love for neighbors not only avoids harming them, it also seeks to serve them. So the guy comes up on this day and he addressed Jesus from the stance that he wanted to, good teacher. And on this day, Jesus wasn't willing to let him get away with simply being a good teacher towards the man. Jesus wanted to be Lord of his entire life. Jesus wanted to know that he was going to be the supreme authority, the shot caller. He was going to be in charge of this man's life. And if the man couldn't have any less than that, then it was going to be a no deal. Jesus wants us to surrender everything to him. Rather, he allows us to use a portion of that for our own good is the Lord's choice. Now, before you turn me off, before you block me, before you stop listening, here's the deal. Even in Scripture, disciples did not always lose their possessions. Disciples did not always lose everything they had when they came to Christ. But every disciple lost ownership of everything they had when they came to Christ. You see that, church? Not every disciple loses everything they have when they come to Christ, but when you come to Christ to follow Jesus with everything you have and everything you are, certainly we lose our ownership over those things, our ownership over our stuff, because ultimately what we're asking is when we come to Jesus, we're asking be Lord of everything that we are, everything that we have, and if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll say, Lord, be the supreme authority in my life. Oh, but by the way, I've got all this other stuff over here that I'm in charge of, so don't mess with that stuff over there. You just kind of work through me anytime you want access to this over here, and I'll give you the okay or not. So that's kind of where we stand. And Jesus on this day, Jesus says, that's not really sufficient. That can't work. And even one of our board members this past Wednesday night, he brought up this particular story and he said, you know, when this guy went away, he went away sad. And it's interesting that in this passage, Jesus didn't go after him. The guy came up and he said, quanta cuesta, how much? And Jesus says, well, this is how much. And the guy goes, well, I can't pay that. And he turns and walked away. And Jesus doesn't go, oh, no, never mind. Let me make a deal for you. Let's talk about this. Jesus doesn't do that, man. For better or for worse, Jesus doesn't do that on this day. Jesus says, this is how much it's going to cost if you want to come after me. And the guy turns away sad, and Jesus says, okay. It's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Gang, what is the point of our wealth? What is the point of our stuff if it's not to bless those around us? The gifts of wealth reveal one's heart for self, one's heart for the kingdom, and it begs the question, is there anything that would hold us back from following after Christ? But it also begs the question, are we somehow withholding a blessing that we could be, should be giving to others? What becomes the point of our wealth? What becomes the point of our time, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, if it's not to bless others in the name of Jesus? I wasn't going to put this up on the screen because if you haven't been listening to him for a while, it's kind of hard to understand what he says. One of my favorite musical artists in the world today is a guy named Lecrae Moore. Lecrae has a song called Don't Waste Your Life, and I just want to share this. I'm going to share it more of as a white boy kind of reading a poem than Lecrae actually rapping it, so forgive me for all that. Third verse, don't waste your life. Lecrae asks the question. He says, suffer? Suffer? Yeah, do it for Christ. You're trying to figure out what to do with your life. If you make a lot of money, I hope you're doing it right because the money is God's. You better steward it right and stay focused. You ain't got no ride. Your life ain't wrapped up in what you drive. The clothes you wear, the job you work, the color of your skin. No, you're Christian first. People get to living for a job, make a little money, start living for a car, get them a wife, a house, kids, and a dog. Then they retire, they're living high on the hog. But guess what? They didn't ever really live at all. To live is Christ, and that's Paul, I recall. To die is gain, so for Christ we give it all. He's a treasure you'll never find in a mall. See, your money, your singleness, your talent, your time, they were loaned to you to show the world that Christ is divine. That's why it's Christ in my rhymes. That's why it's Christ all the time. See, my whole world is built around him. He's the life of my life. I refuse to waste my life. He's too true to chase that ice. Here's my gifts and time because I'm constantly trying to be used to praise the Christ. If he's truly raised to life, then this news should change your life. And by his grace, you can put your faith in a place that rules your days and nights. I don't want to waste my life. I love the image that Lecrae uses. If you have something, and I'm not just talking about tangible. If you have something tangible, great. But you might have a lot of other stuff, relationships, time, talents, gifts, energy. Lecrae comes on the scene and he says, if you have any of that, guess what? It wasn't given to you for you. It was given to you so you could show the world that Christ is divine, that Christ is king. And Lecrae basically says to settle for anything less is to waste your life. Do we prefer the things that the world can give us, church, or do we prefer the life that Christ can give us as we submit to his lordship? Well, we keep walking down the text here. We get to verse 24, and basically Jesus said that thing when he said how, you know, it's hard to inherit the kingdom of heaven, how hard it is for the rich to get in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 24, the disciples are stumped. They're like, what? Okay, well, what's going on? The disciples are amazed at his words, and Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, children, how hard it is to have 100% confidence in money and 100% confidence in the kingdom. In other words, you can't do that. Jesus almost gives commentary to the very situation. Jesus is kind of explaining this whole situation to his people. And Jesus is basically saying this, it's difficult for the rich because our personal identity is bound up in the things we have, the things on earth. And it's all but impossible for us to turn those things over to God's care. So this guy pulls up and here's the deal. For all rights and purposes, this guy was hitting the mark. Not, don't kill anybody, Jesus, ding, ding, give me a point. Don't lie and bear false witness, ding, ding, give me 2 points. Don't be mean to my mom and dad, 3 points. And then this guy's just kind of going around and he's racking up points because he's got this list of things that he's not going to do so he doesn't dishonor God. And Jesus says, that's cool, but you're not hitting the middle. You're not hitting the target. You're kind of just hanging out here on the edge. Yeah, I get it. You're not doing a lot of bad stuff, but here's the deal. I want to have control over everything in your life. And on this day, this guy, he just couldn't buy that. This someone who has so much, has accumulated so much, has inherited so much, the idea that he would need someone to be in charge of him is just out of the question. So it was an act of love when Jesus says to him, you lack something. There's much more, church. Please hear this. There's much more to the way of God than simply not doing bad things. And so despite having this guy lacked, and it was preventing him from entering the kingdom of God, Jesus continues. He goes on to verse 25. Jesus says in verse 25, he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to get in the Word, right? You got to get in Scripture, and you got to dig into it deep so you can begin to understand a lot of the humor that's in there, okay? This is one of Jesus' ways of telling a joke, and I'm sure in the first century it was funny, right? Everybody would have laughed when they thought about this. Now here's the deal. There's some thoughts out there that really the eye of the needle is not the eye of a needle, meaning like a sewing needle. And you'll hear some folks say, you know, well, what the needle really is it was this hole in the city around, or in the wall around the city. And late at night, they wouldn't want to have the main gates open because it would make them susceptible to burglars and robbers and maybe neighboring towns or whatever. And so for safety, they built these little holes in the wall, and it was called the needle, and it was shaped like a camel's back. And what would happen is the camel would come up, and the owner would have to dismount the camel and take down everything that they had. And it really creates this great word picture of this camel showing up to this gate late at night. And we want to get in, but we can't get in the main gate. Okay, well, you have to go through the needle. All right, well, I'm going to have to take everything off my camel. We'll have to shed everything. And hopefully he didn't drink a lot of water at the last watering hole, and he's not real big. And what a lot of people tell us is that the needle is just this hole in the outside of the wall. And if the camel just relinquishes a lot of stuff, the camel can kind of squeeze through that hole. And it's real hard. It's real difficult. But eventually the camel can just make it in. And when they get in, what do? They put all the stuff back on the camel, right? That's a foreign concept in the first century. That didn't exist. So when we talk about Jesus saying to his disciples, it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven, that's what we're talking about. Jesus has literally given us this word picture of a camel, very large, four-legged animal, two humps, maybe on this particular one that I'm envisioning, and me holding a needle, and Jesus saying, if you can get that camel through the eye of this needle here, that's how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. So the disciples are amazed, and they ask Jesus, well, Jesus, if the rich can't get in, then who can? What an incredible statement about the reality of privilege back in first century. Jesus, if the rich can't get in, then who can? If heaven isn't for the rich, if eternal life isn't for the rich, if the kingdom of God isn't for the rich, then what are we doing here, right? Why did we show up? If not for the rich, then who? Who can be saved? Well, here's the deal. The disciples, they had a block. They just couldn't understand that. They weren't making sense of this word picture by Jesus, and they're not understanding everything that Jesus has to say. And essentially, God says through Jesus, let me worry about that. If you would dare sit back and ask the question, God, if the rich can't be saved, then who can be saved? Why am I here if the rich can't be saved? I just need to get, if even the rich can't inherit eternal life, I'm wasting my time. I need to go, because surely the rich are going to get to go first. The first shall be first, and the last will be last, right? No, Jesus comes on the scene. He says the last shall be first. And basically, Jesus tells his disciples right then and there, he says, you don't worry about that kind of stuff. Let God worry about that kind of stuff. He says, what is impossible for man is possible with God. Jesus, who can be saved if not the rich? It would be impossible. No, you let God worry about that. Everything, all things are impossible with God. And so wherever you'd stand back and say, okay, not the wealthy, then whom? What about those who have followed off commandments? If not them, who can be saved? All things are possible with God. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter how much you have today. All things are possible with God. And we need this saving work of Jesus to be at work in us. so that we can follow, so that we can take him at his word. And when we come before Jesus and we say, quanta cuesta, how much, Jesus, how much of my life is it going to take so I can go with you? And he says, well, it's going to take everything. We can say, okay. You know, the title of this message this week was Move and Give. Move by giving. As I started working through it, though, I realized maybe to be true to the text, it would be more closer to move, and not what's God calling us to give, but what is God calling us to give up. There's a two-sided coin here when he's dealing with this guy. He says, you're going to have to give up, and then you're going to have to give. You're going to have to relinquish authority to all that stuff you have, and then go out and give it away. Last week, I showed you this picture. If you weren't here, this is my neighbor's house across the street. They moved several months ago. They left a lot of junk, right? And I asked the question this week, I said, it could be that in us moving forward in our relationship with God, there might be some junk that we need to walk away from. There might be some junk in our lives that we need to leave on the curb in order to say, Jesus, I want to follow after you. I want you to have 100% reign over my life. And then it occurred to me, the more I was walking through this passage, this guy's wealth was not his junk. This guy's wealth was the most cherished reality in his world. And I sat back and I thought, it's a lot easier to leave junk behind than it is to leave our most precious possessions, our most valued relationships, the things that we hold most dear to us, maybe even for some of us, our money. You say, Dwayne, that's hard, I know. But Jesus looks at him and he says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible with God. So I want to suggest to you today, Center Point, that it's worth the conversation. It's worth the conversation, I believe, to be able to come before the Lord in a very personal opportunity, but to be able to come before the Lord and ask that question, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? To be able to come before the Lord and in fashion as the man, to fall on our knees before the Lord and ask the question, Lord, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? Lord, what would it take for you to have full reign and right over my life? You see, the man got it partly right. He knew where to go when he had that question. My hope for us today is that we wouldn't just stop short at the question. We'd hear what Jesus has to say to us, and we'd get up and we'd go in a way that allows us to follow him, having surrendered. And I got to believe that in a room this size, with as many people that are in here, I believe Jesus' answers to us are going to be as varied as the people and the personalities in this room. I had a professor in seminary. He was very clear about that. Dr. Daryl Moore. He said, you got to remember, Jesus asked one man in the scripture to sell everything he had and give it to the poor. Why do you say that to us, Dwayne? Because I believe this. I believe that today God could say that to somebody in this room. But I also believe that today God could say, you know what, if you're going to follow after me wholeheartedly, you're going to have to walk away from this relationship or that relationship. If you're going to follow after me wholeheartedly, I'm going to have to be Lord of your schedule and your stuff and how you're living a frantic, hyper-scheduled life. I'm going to have to be Lord over that. You're going to have to walk away from that. You're going to have to let me control that. If you're going to follow me, I'm going to have to be Lord over your mouth and the words that come out of it. You're going to have to give that to me, because everywhere you go, you're just spewing, you're hurting, you're killing. I've got to be Lord of those things. And I just want to give us opportunity today to spend time in conversation. I close with this. Floyd Money Mayweather. As of today, his estimated net worth is about $700 million. You know why the man's made a lot of money? Anybody? Not because he's a boxer, because he's one of the best boxers in history. Money Mayweather is 49-0 right now in his professional career with 26 knockouts. You know what that means? That means I ain't going to try to take anything away from him. And God's not going to try to take anything away from you either. When you surrender it, it'll be because you give it to him freely. Because he's not a God who grasps and takes. He's a God who lays out the path and he says, come and go with me. And I think it's worth the conversation. We're going to spend just a few moments in silence. I think it'd be very appropriate for some of us today to take a literal posture of on our knees before the Lord. And maybe you'd like to do that at this altar. Maybe you'd like to do that at your chair. But rather we're able to physically take that posture before the Lord, I know that today we need to take that spiritual posture before the Lord and simply come before the Lord and ask, God, how do I get into this thing 100%? What does it look like? What do you have to say to me? And I'll be naive enough to trust that he'll lay out that path and he'll invite you to come. And if you go, that'll be between you and the Lord. And if you say no, that'll be between you and the Lord. Lord, guide this prayer time. Lord, guide the conversations that would take place right now. And I pray that you would be very real in this room. God, not so that there would be an emotional decision made in this room that we forget about when we walk out today, but that, God, that truly we could have very real conversation before you about what it means for us to follow after you with our whole hearts. So Lord, even now as your people come with open ears and open hearts, would you speak? May we hear your voice today, and may we have the strength to follow you. Hear our prayers.